1-0 to the Arsenal, as the famous chant goes. Arsenal winning at Old Trafford this morning to kickstart the Premier League season. It is just what we came for, even though the result, even though the performance wasn't quite up to scratch and it was, we were unusually flat at times. However, we came here to win. We came for the 3 points, and in that respect, job done. So let's get all into it. First, it's to introduce myself again. Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are in the world. You are most certainly welcome. And I hope you are feeling a bit of a spring in the step, because Arsenal won. I know there's been a lot of discourse about what type of performance we saw, but look, it's one of those things where had you offered me a 1-0 victory at the start of the match, had you offered me a clean sheet, 3 points, to come away without any major injuries or red cards or just any of that sort of discourse that unfortunately just plagues Arsenal and has the potential to derail our seasons, of course I would have taken it. I absolutely take it. We'll get into the performance itself shortly, because there's a load that we can just immediately improve. I think the players know that. Arteta certainly knows that. I mean, listening to his post-match comments, I'm paraphrasing here, please, so pardon me if I misquote him. However, the gist of his message was that it's an extremely difficult place to go. Like Old Trafford, despite how, you know, poor United have been for several years now, they're not the United of old, as we all know. Still, they cause Arsenal a lot of problems at home and away. I mean, they knocked us out of the FA Cup in January at the Emirates in a very difficult fixture for Arsenal. So it's just one of those things that, you know, Manchester United away at Old Trafford, it is not an easy place to go for Arsenal. And to still come away with the win, and Arteta mentioned the dressing room, that he mentioned that the players themselves know that that's just not quite good enough. It's not quite up to standard. Now, how far we've come as a club, right? How far the standards have risen, that we can go there, win ugly, take a clean sheet, take the 3 points, and we're still looking at ourselves thinking, damn, you know, that's not the level of performance that we know we're capable of. I find that aspect very, very promising. So we'll get into the match itself in a moment. I think first though, let's start with selection, because selection, as expected, was largely in line with that last preseason friendly we saw against Athletic Club. I think most of the team largely selects itself now. There were a few key decisions to make, of course, at right back and left back, and I think Arteta got it right. This is, of course, no reflection on Yuren Timber. Of course, we know that he's still on a different schedule in terms of his fitness and reintegrating back up to his usual load after ankle surgery. And Ben White, thankfully, has had a very largely clean, uninterrupted preseason. So in terms of his readiness, his fitness, he is ahead. When I say ahead, I'm not saying ahead of the queue that he's better than Timber. I'm not saying that way. But in terms of their load, their progression, their fitness levels, it was the right call to start Ben White, who I think, aside from a few moments of being being done on the counter, he was very, very good. It was just a nice glimpse, because we missed that last season, especially that interplay with Saka on the overlap and with Odegaard. You know, that's been such a key component of Arsenal for quite some time. And Victor Gyökeres started as well. I mean, what a luxury it is now when you look at Arsenal's bench to have the likes of Havertz to come on. We had some unused subs as well, Trossard and Wanyeri today. You know, it's just fantastic. It's just fantastic to see that bench and just know that we've got options. We've got options just depending upon the match state and what we need in the phase of the match, that we've just got options that we can turn to. And my goodness me, how much just that simple luxury, how much that impacted Arsenal last season. And I should add now, sorry, if my voice is sounding a little bit flat, my apologies. It's not due to me being unhappy with the result or anything. It's due to tiredness. It's a 1:30 a.m. kickoff in Australia. These matches are, if you've heard me talk about this before, because I've been asked this several times across the many months recording this podcast now, How do I approach a match day, especially this time slot? It's not easy. It really isn't easy, right? So, and it's been a few months since I've done this. So my apologies. I try and set my alarm for around 1:20. It gives me a few minutes in the morning just to get my setup correct. I have the iPad nearby, fully charged, my headphones, and I watch the match in bed, and then I try and get back to sleep soon after. So please excuse if you just hear me not at my usual self. Over the course of the day, I'll eventually bounce back, and it'll be an early bedtime tonight for me tonight. Trust me. So it's just one of those things when you follow the club as closely as I do, but you're on the other side of the world. You just got to deal with this stuff. So So getting back to the match itself. So where was I? Apologies. I think that's right. Just covered the lineup. So this this match looks. We may as well get into it now. That I really feel that Arsenal were well off the pace in the first half. If I was to split the match into if I was to give a rating based on first half versus second half, I think overall Arsenal were around a 3.5 to 4 out of 10 in the first half. Am I being too harsh? Quite possibly. And second half, I thought we were much better. We timed the substitutions correctly. We grew into the match. We just grew into more control and confidence. And even though United had some key chances, I'll get to Rye in a moment, who I thought was fantastic, I just felt that we looked more and more comfortable as the match went on. And even though they were throwing everything they can, they had Maguire come on in the 80th minute to be centre forward, and I know it's proven effective for them, but, you know, we just stood up. We stood up and withstood what they had to offer. As the match went late on and on, yes, Simon Hooper, he got a bit pedantic with some yellow cards and time wasting, and look, it's just all that's all part and parcel. It's all gamesmanship. I think we dealt with that well, not to do anything silly in addition to that. But even though we scored in the first half, and we were 1-0 ahead at halftime, I just thought we were the poorer team. I actually think, and maybe it's remiss of me not to mention this yet, but I think United were really good. I think Manchester United were really, really good. And if I was a United fan today, and thankfully I'm not, I'd be feeling a bit robbed from this match, because you look at the balance of the match, the performance, the chances created, they would certainly feel like they deserve something from the game. I'm not quite sure did they do enough to win it. Yes, Rye's made some excellent saves. Yeah, absolutely. I think he's been credited with man of the match, and I think credited with 7 saves overall. I would say many of them. I would say, and this is not to denigrate Raya, please, I hope I'm not coming across that way. I would say many of those 7 saves that quality Premier League standard keepers, they should be making anyway. The diving head off Mbeumo was fantastic, who I thought he himself was excellent too, Mbeumo and Cunha, by the way. I'll come back to that in a second. But he's also made another key save with his fingertips to keep out Cunha from a low left foot strike. So I think Raya, he commanded his box. He did what he needed to do, and that's the standard. Like this is the standard. Like Raya he's right up there. He probably won't get the accolades that he deserves in terms of where he ranks in terms of world class status until Arsenal win something and win something major. However, the last couple of seasons, Raya's been integral. He was really, really good today. Whether he deserves man of the match or not, I don't know. But at the same time, were there any other real standouts? I think across the board, Arsenal were otherwise flat. I think it was unusually quiet game for Declan Rice. I think Odegaard was very good overall. He worked his tail off. He really did. He's got that fitness back, that drive back. He played the 90. He wasn't huffing or puffing late on, leading the press, doing all the Odegaard things that he does on and off the boil. Still not quite there in that final ball, but the same thing can be applied for everyone. I thought collectively as a front four, I think Saka, Martinelli, Gyökeres, all of them in their own right were off the boil today, off the pace. So this is not to single out or dig out anyone, any particular player, but I'm just saying more so that was there another clear standout on the day who could have won man of the match? Maybe the closest would be one either of Saliba or Gabriel. I thought they were incredible. As you come to expect from their pairing, and what a luxury it is now to have both of them back. First Premier League match for Arsenal for Gabriel since I believe it was February when he did that hamstring against Palace. Look, it's just fantastic to have them back doing Saliba and Gabriel things that you just come to expect. But when you really watch the match, when you watch a number of replays, you see how critical these little low 1% things are, but they make all the difference. How many blocks did Gabriel get in? Just when you think United are going to get a shot away or a second shot away, he's just there, makes himself big, hands tucked behind his back. He sticks his leg out, bends his knee down, and he's just blocking. He's snuffing them out. I mean, this is just the kind of stuff that we now take for granted. Certainly, maybe I take for granted that just how good they both are. What a reassurance it is to the entire squad to have two players of that caliber as a pairing, just doing their usual things. And you don't need me to remind you again of how many times Arsenal dropped points from winning positions last season. 21 points was the figure in a league season where we finished on 74 points, about 10 or 11 off the eventual champions, Liverpool. And my goodness, how we could have done with some moments of just seeing things through last season, get that second goal or don't concede a silly goal at the other end, especially late on in matches, and to snuff out your own lead and 3 points becomes one. I'm just thankful now that this didn't happen today, because certainly all the hallmarks were there, all the signs were there that we were being outplayed. United had a lot of momentum for large periods of the match. Unusual to look at the stats and see Arsenal concede so much possession. I think it ended up, was it 62% in favour of United, 38% for Arsenal. That's unusual. However, I think largely it's tactical as well. We saw an Arsenal with a lot more intent on transition. In fact, I might as well come to that point now, that we seemed to want to give them the ball and want to hit them on the counter. And that's okay. That's fine by me, because this is not something that is synonymous with Arsenal of late. It's certainly not something synonymous with Mikel Arteta in the last couple of seasons, where we've seemed reluctant to do that. We seem to be risk averse and not try and play that long diagonal ball or that quick pass out. We seem to take the preferred option seems to be retention. Ball retention, pass it back or sideways or go back to Raya. So it was very interesting watching this match. You know, I was, and again, even though I'm watching on my iPad and it's 1:30 in the morning, I'm still tuning in and thinking, wow, I'm seeing things differently here. I'm seeing Arsenal play that ball out, play it quickly. Zubimendi's instrumental in that, but we were playing the pass. We were looking for the runs. Now, execution is where we fell down here. The intent, the strategy was certainly clear. However, so many times, just that final pass, that final ball, we fluffed it. I got no other way to say it, right? It looks great when it comes off, and it can instantly add to that highlight reel that we cut a team open from front to back. But when you don't nail that final pass and we end up, you know, turning the ball over, we leave ourselves exposed at the other end. And on a few occasions this match, especially in that first half, I'm watching us being hit ourselves from a turnover, and I'm looking at the back and I'm just seeing Saliba and Gabriel. It was, how many times do we see it was like just almost a back two, because we'd committed players forward. We know the way Calafiori plays. I mean, that again is intentional. That's coaching. That's instruction. We know what he's there to do. Then we see all these gaps at the other end. It was unusual to see that from Arsenal. And as good as United were, right, I give credit to them, a better team would have capitalised. A better team would have punished Arsenal to the maximum. There was one or two moments in particular where it just shouldn't have happened. There was one, Cunha, who I mentioned earlier, he had a very, very good game. How is it that he's able to sky through three, four Arsenal players? It was bizarre. Take him down. There were just half-hearted tackles. He just glided through, and then all of a sudden he's advancing into our box. It took Saliba to close him down, thankfully, and to close down his shot. And then it didn't amount to anything in the end, thankfully. However, when the ball was in the middle of the park and we got Rice closing on him, Zubimendi, someone tackle him or take him down. Take the tactical foul even. It was really bizarre to see Arsenal cut open like that. And there was also that moment with, was it Ugarte, I believe? Dorgu. My apologies. It was Dorgu who White was committed forward. There was acres of space on the right-hand side. It was just Saliba basically just trying to cover that area. And if anything, Dorgu, he should have come closer. He should have advanced into the box, but he took his shot from outside the box. He's hit it low across Raya and has come off the post. And we got fortunate there because, you know, anything can happen. It could kiss the inside of the post and go in, or it can rebound anywhere else back into the danger area, maybe for a little tap-in for United play. You just don't know. We got lucky there. That's the point I'm trying to make. We got lucky, and it's unusual to see that. So when Arteta and the coaching staff and the players rewatch the match, just without even having to look too far, you can already look and point to half a dozen things that happened in this match that shouldn't have happened, that just shouldn't, and we can immediately improve. Again, though, I'm just thankful we've come away with the 3 points, with the win, because that's all that matters. You know that classic saying about a smash and grab? You take the 3 points and you run, right? I think we've got that out of the way nice and early, because this with Arsenal's start to the season, it was so, so crucial that we go to Old Trafford and win and start with 3 points and generate our own momentum. It was, in that respect, very, very pleasing. And I'm also glad Šeško didn't score, because you know the narrative. You just know what would have happened, right? Especially Gyökeres had a difficult day. I think he's also a victim of this new playing style that we are trying to play with intent on the transition and play on the counter. He makes some very promising runs. Like the way he positions himself, he tries to drag out the defender to either flank, either side. He favours the left more so and hopes for the space to charge into. A couple of times we found him, many times we didn't. And on the times that we found him as well, in behind, you know, Gyökeres's final ball wasn't quite there either. There was one late in the first half. It pretty much summed up the first half, really, where he's tried to sort of pass one across and he's just hit it way too hard and it's ended up going in for a throw-in. Later on, he had another really good opening, but unfortunately, I don't know, did he misstep or did he trip himself over? I couldn't quite tell. Or maybe even stood on the ball, actually, and it sort of amounted to nothing, much to the delight of the Old Trafford crowd who seemed to relish in that. They didn't really have much else to cheer on otherwise. So I haven't spoken about the goal as yet, but I should now, because I wanted to tie this into the conversation with David Raya that I was talking about a few minutes ago. There was a huge contrast between the quality of the goalkeepers, just an enormous gulf. I don't know this United keeper. I think it's Bayinda? I don't know too much about him. I wasn't aware that Onana wasn't playing this match. It was a very, very poor goalkeeping moment. Let's get that out of the way for a moment, because then I want to talk about the positives. I want to talk about the delivery and all that good stuff that Arsenal do at set pieces. Just get out of the way for a moment. The goal should not have happened. That's very, very, very poor goalkeeping, and it looks worse on every replay. It really does. I know they were trying to moan for some sort of foul or the goalkeeper being impeded, but no way, absolutely no way. I remember a few seasons ago that Friday night match where Arsenal kicked off the season against Brentford, away to Brentford. It was that season where the COVID protocols really hit Arsenal as well. They had a number of players. In all honesty, that match probably shouldn't have gone ahead given the amount of late withdrawals Arsenal had. Tried to start a Balogun at centre forward for his debut that match. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is I remember that fixture. Bernd Leno, who was goalkeeper at the time prior to Ramsdale taking over, that he had a moment where he was claiming that he was impeded, and you know, Arsenal. I think much of the narrative around that was that Arsenal were just being weak, that Arsenal were sort of, you know, moaning and complaining. The goalkeeper just needs to be stronger. You need to command your area, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Leno should not have allowed himself to be sort of, you know, bodied off the ball like that. And the reason I mention it now is that there was just absolutely no sympathy whatsoever for Arsenal at the time. And I actually think he had claims for a foul in that instance. But here, right now, the same applies in reverse. You cannot flap at a ball like that. Basically, the delivery from Rice is that good. He could have caught it if he wanted to, right? But you can't just flap out your fingertips like that and then complain for a foul. You just absolutely have to thump the ball away, punch it away. And in the second half, or an almost identical situation, in the almost identical spot to where United conceded the goal, Raya just clenched fist, strong hand, he just thumps the ball, punches through it like it's a punching bag, and just get the ball out of the area. That's the that's the difference in quality of, and standard of the two goalkeepers. And I'm so grateful that now Arsenal, that we no longer have to deal with that sort of stuff, because we for so many years, especially under Wenger, we had just we didn't quite nail that goalkeeping spot, and so often we would find ourselves in moments of self-destruction when we'd concede goals that just shouldn't happen, that a much more commanding, a much higher caliber goalkeeper should not concede. And I'm so thankful we have that now in Raya, because he commands his box, he commands his area, he's not afraid to come out and throw his body at it, throw his hands at it, and he just does what he needs to do when the time counts. And that's what makes world-class goalkeepers world-class goalkeepers, because they know when it's their turn, when it's their moment, they just do it instinctively. And I'm so, so pleased. So back to the goal itself. I'll talk about the good stuff now. How's the delivery from Rice? It is unbelievable. He can land them on a dime, as the saying goes. From that angle, when it's that in-swinging corner, you want no one else taking the set piece. You want no one else on it. He is absolutely brilliant. It's a skill. It's an art form in and of itself. I mean, just outstanding delivery. That's what creates the panic. That's what creates the chaos. And as poor as the marking was at the back post, Calafiori, he just knows where to be. He's got that instinct for goal. You know, he's scored a few key away goals now, right? He scored that cracker against Manchester City last season. And then he scored a crucial winner at Wolves as well. The match where Lewis Skelly was you know, unjustly red carded, which was later rescinded, but thankfully it didn't cost Arsenal a day, thanks to Ricardo Calafiori. So, and he's tapped it in, and amazingly, Arsenal are 1-0 ahead. And as I've said before, it was probably against the run of play. I don't think we were necessarily deserving of a 1-0 lead at halftime. But you know what? Who cares? Ultimately, who cares? Because how many times have we looked at matches where we've dropped points or we've lost and we've said, no, we deserve something out of that. We should have. It's like coulda, shoulda, woulda, but didn't. And this is a situation where Arsenal have a load to improve, have made a number of unusually uncharacteristic mistakes, and we haven't been punished, thankfully. However, we've come away with 3 points. We've come away with a win. We've ticked off a very tough away fixture that's caused us a lot of problems over many years. And we started the Premier League campaign with a win and 3 points, heading into Leeds next week at home at the Emirates. I mean, would I have taken that before the match? Absolutely, yes. And I'm confident many would have the same answer. So in that respect, fantastic, fantastic result. It's an excellent outcome. Disappointing flat performance, but ultimately, who cares? It will become a problem, though, if we see that replicated against Leeds and then going into Anfield, of course. If we see this sort of performance, these mistakes continue in the next few weeks, absolutely, yes. That's an entirely different discussion. However, for the first match integrated a number of new players as well, right? A different system. When I say different system, I mean we've made some adjustments to our system, I should more so say. That's going to take time to embed into the team. So we just need to keep context in mind what we're trying to do here. And speaking of which, amongst the tactical changes we saw on the day as well, it was very pleasing to see as well, Arteta made the changes earlier. I mean, on the 57, 58 minutes, I saw Havertz and Madueke lining up on the substitutes bench to come on. So he's making the changes to bring on Gyökeres and Martinelli basically on the hour mark, and bring in Madueke. And interesting, he was brought on first. I know there's been some question marks over Trossard's fitness. There was also Ethan. You know, you can look to turn to off the bench. But like we've always been saying, Madueke, he's here to play. I mean, there's a position up for grabs there. That left wing is right up for grabs, especially if Trossard is looking elsewhere in the remaining weeks of the transfer market. So let's watch this space on that one. But then to bring Havertz on as well, who I thought he was very, very good. I don't know how Maguire's escaped a yellow card, by the way, for that late tackle on him. Like come on. I mean, it's just bizarre. But look, I don't want to get too nitpicky and too complainy, especially given that we've won the match. So it was pleasing to see that Arteta make the changes, right? He changed both fullbacks as well, essentially at the same time. That was another double substitution. That's unusual for him to do, to bring on Lewis Skelly and Timber at the same time and change both flanks. So he's made two changes on the hour mark. He's made two more changes. I believe that was maybe the 72nd, 73rd minute, in and around there. And then he's brought off Declan Rice as well for Mikel Merino late on the match to see things through. So credit to Arteta for utilising his bench as well. When we've got the options there, we've got the ability to make five subs. So let's utilise it when he sees fit. So in that respect, I'm quite encouraged by what I'm seeing there otherwise. So look, I think I'll bring this one to a close right there. Thank you so much for listening. It's not all doom and gloom, right? So I certainly hope I haven't come across that way. Just trying to give a bit of a balance to what we've seen this morning at Old Trafford. I think it's brilliant result that Arsenal have won. I'm so, so pleased, especially against United, who have caused so much pain and hurt towards Arsenal. It's just great just to go there and just take the 3 points and especially if they're feeling a bit sour about it, that they deserve something. To me, that makes it even sweeter. That makes it even better. So in that respect, job done, well done to the Arsenal. So I will wrap it up there. Thank you so much for listening. If you are listening on your audio platforms, a review would be most appreciated, please. If you could leave me a 5-star review, thank you so much. And like and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube. I'll be back on again in a few days' time in the lead up to the Leeds match. Until then, please let me know if there's any questions or any comments you have, any feedback I would most welcome, or any questions you want me to answer for the next recording. That would be great, please. Until then, look after yourselves, stay safe, and check in with your loved ones, and just make sure we're all being kind to each other. And enjoy, because Arsenal have won and we've got 3 points for Old Trafford. And I'll talk to you next time. Until then, come on, Arsenal.